Rabbi Eitan Feiner currently serves as the full-time Rav of Congregation Knesset Israel, more popularly known as the White Shul in Far Rockaway. He also delivers monthly shiur on Atlanta's Yeshiva and at Machon Bas Yisrael Seminary, lectures extensively throughout the New York area and beyond, and is the summer rabbi of High Lifelines Camp Simcha. Rabbi Feiner previously served as a Magid Shiur and senior lecturer at Eishat Torah Yerushalayim, taught weekly in various yeshiva and seminaries throughout Eretz Yisrael, and lectures for the popular Gateways program very often. The presentation will be on imparting the love and sweetness of Torah.
Thank you. Baruch Ato Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Yedivar.
Thank you all so much for coming this afternoon. Why don't we start with a story about a boy named Yaakov. So Yaakov was having trouble in school, misbehaving, coming home every day in a terrible mood. Finally, the parents went, took him to a therapist. Turns out that he had ADHD. And they got for him Ritalin. And Yaakov's mother said, Yaakov, I want you to go in and take this Ritalin every single day. Please don't miss any opportunity to do so. And you'll see that things will calm down. Everything's going to be all right. And Yaakov takes the Ritalin with him to school. And all of a sudden, he comes back after the first day, and he's a changed boy, Legamri, altogether different type of student. And as the days progress, the weeks go on, he becomes a perfect student. His grades are going up and up. His behavior, both in school and at home, the parents are astounded. And finally, the mother says, Yaakov, I am so impressed. I give you your medication, and you go to school every day, and you take it with your lunch, and you're so good, so meticulous, to make sure you're makbid every single day, to not to miss taking your medicine. And because of that, I see you're a changed person. She says, what do you mean? I haven't taken my medicine one day. And the mother says, what do you mean, Yaakov, you haven't taken your medicine? So what do you do with all the medicine that I give you? She says, I put it in my Rebbe's coffee in the morning. Sometimes we have to change the students, but sometimes we have to change the Rebbeim, the mentors, the teachers. So how do we indeed give over a love of Torah? How do we give over the sweetness of Torah? First thing we have to know is that if there's one mitzvah, and in fact, there only exists one mitzvah, whereas a prefatory remark before we plunge headfirst into the study of Torah when we wake up in the morning, we know that on the heels of Lasok B'divrei Torah, we encounter a unique terminology, a phraseology that only appears in conjunction with Talmud Torah, and does not appear in contrast to any other one of the Tariq mitzvahs. So yes, we know Talmud Torah, Keneged Kulam, the Mishnah, Peah, and Aleph Aleph. We know it's the greatest of all mitzvahs, but still, why does specifically the mitzvah Talmud Torah warrant the additional V'harev No Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Yisroel? Please, I want to taste the sweetness. I want it to be sweet. Mosuk Midvash. Why do we add V'harev No Hashem Elokeinu? Rav Tzodok HaKohen Milublin explains in his Sefer Kometz HaMincha and Chelek Aleph and Os Samach Aleph. Tzodok writes that any time your Yetzirah, your evil inclination, is attempting to thwart the opportunity for you to perform a Maisa Mitzvah, to do a good deed, Stok of a Chesed, so all you have to do is turn to the Gemara in Kedushin of Lamed Amad Beis, and the Gemara there relates, Barasi lo Yetzirah, Barasi lo Torah Taflet. Hashem Yisbach tells us, I gave you the antidote. Yes, I gave you a Yetzirah. I instilled, ingrained within you an evil inclination, but at the same time, I gave you the antidote, the panacea to cure all the inclinations, all the proclivities, the penchants, the tendencies that might be expressed in negative ways or fashions. All you have to do is open up a Torah, open up a Sefer Torah, open up a Chumash, a Tanakh, open up a Maharal, a Ramchal, a Rav Kook. Take the Sefer of your choice, and that will readily serve as the antidote to stop the Yetzirah in its tracks. But ask Rav Tzodok HaKohen Milublin, what do you do when the Yetzirah says, I don't want you to get up and learn today? What if his tactic this Tuesday afternoon will be, I don't want you to open up a sefer today. What are you going to do? You can't open up a sefer to hold the Yitzhar in check. Who's telling you not to open up a sefer? So what do you do? Right, Tzotzonik, that's why, in order to tap into that power, the unlimited power, the potency of the Koach of Torah as the Tavlin, sometimes you got to get up in the morning and you have to ask Hashem, Yisporach Maharam Noshem Lekin, I want to taste the sweetest. And by adding that crucial bracha, you're starting out your day by saying, Hashem, I want to taste the sweetness of the Torah. And therefore, even if I'm tempted to not open up a sefer today, to not go to a shiur of choice, it doesn't make a difference. I got up in the morning and I said to myself, I pronounced aloud, the Har of Hashem, okay, Hashem, let me taste the sweetness. Let me appreciate the magnitude, the enormity of how Mosuk Midvash, the Torah Kedosha, is. And by tasting and living and breathing the sweetness of the Torah, even when the evil inclination steps onto the stage and he attempts to prevent you, to preclude you from studying Torah that day, you know that you got the bracha, the Har of Hashem, okay, in your bag. And if we always tap into that koch of the Mesikas HaTorah, that will always be the push, that which will propel us to open up those forum, even when we might not have been in the mood. The interesting idea is that Rav Chaim Kanevsky was asked, it's recorded in the Sefer Shema Tzvilasi on page 33, he was asked the question, what happens if a person got up in the morning and you forgot to recite the Birchas HaTorah? You didn't recite Lasag B'Divrei Torah, V'Har Rav Nasha Bracha Banu, then what do you do? So the Gemara explains, in Brachas Daf Yad Aleph Amad Beis, it's Paskan Olach Lamaisen, Torn Shulchan Aruch, Chanor Chaim, and Tzimim Mem Zayin, Hilchas Birchas HaTorah, that if you forgot to recite the Birchas HaTorah, no problem. Kvar Niftar Mi Ava Rabba. If you said Ava Rabba, the paragraph that precedes the Kriya Shema of the morning, then you've already exempted your chiyuv, your obligation to recite Birchas HaTorah. My grandfather, Oliver Sholem, parenthetically, used to always point out that chasonim, you see so often that after a person gets married, they're always coming late to daven. They're always coming late, they have distractions, shon rishona. So he used to joke that they're always coming late to Shema Yisrael on account of Ava Rabba. So you're supposed to say Ava Rabba with a lot of kavana. And therein, what do we encounter? Raharabna. That's what we said by Baharav now, just those two words. What do we say in Avraham? Avraham, v'seim elbeinu lahavan olahaskel lishmo lemur lamed lishmor v'lasos, this arichus, this elaboration of all these bakoshes nefrodus, all these distinct requests. Hashem, I want the bino, the understanding lahavan olahaskel lishmo lemur lamed. And yet, where is that in my brichas atayra in the morning? Where are all those requests? Answer, Rav Chaim Kanevsky, they're all encapsulated in two succinct words. What are those two words? Baharav. No, Hashem, please let me taste the sweetness of Torah. Because explain, Rav Chaim Kanevsky, if you taste the sweetness of Torah, you do not need to go weiter, to continue on or present a separate request. Hashem, please let me have the understanding, Lahavan al Haskel, because if you love it, and you truly taste the sweetness of Torah, Seinu HaKadosha, you don't need to ask a separate Bakosh, Hashem, please let me understand it. Let me be privy to the details, the myriad nuances and intricacies to plumb the depths of the Torah. I don't need to do that. If I taste the sweetness, I know it instinctively. I know it automatically. The Meshech Chochma, Rameyer Simcha from Davinsky, Yad HaKharusa, where in every time the Chavrusa Shaft, these two companions encountered a difficulty in the midst of their learning, Rav Meir Simcha from Divinsk was telling Chavrusa, you know what, take a sefer Tehillim, and you say Tehillim in your corner, and I'll say Tehillim in mine. But I don't want you to daven for the answer. I want you to daven for Avas HaTorah. I want you to daven to love the Torah. She says, why? He says, let me give you a moshel l'maha dover doma. There's a mother who had to run out grocery shopping on Sunday afternoon, so she gives her newborn infant to her next door neighbor and says, please, my good friend, do me a kind tova, do me a favor and watch my newborn infant for 20 minutes, a half hour, I'll be right back. She goes quickly to Bras, to gourmet lunch. She comes back a half hour later and knocks on the neighbor's door and her baby is crying hysterically. And she turns to the neighbor and says, what's going on over here? She picks up her newborn infant and within a matter of seconds, the baby is assuaged, is soothed, is calmed down completely. And the neighbor says, wow, how'd you do that? And the mother says, very simply, the baby knows instinctively, automatically, how much I love my newborn infant. And that love is mutual. And if you love another person, you know almost instantly, automatically, what the needs of that person, in this case the child, the newborn infant, are. And therefore I know almost instantly how to properly respond and tend to my infant. Because the love is there. If you love the Torah, explain the Meshech Chochmah, you don't need to ask Hashem, give me the answers to my questions. If you love the Torah like your Isha, like your wife, like your beloved wife, your partner in life, this same way. You know your spouse almost instinctively, intuitively. You don't need to ask your spouse, how is he or she feeling at this moment in time? You just know it. You sense it. There's a Bini Yaseira. So to explain Rameya Simcha from Davinsk. If you truly love the Torah, you know automatically the secrets of the Torah, the answers to all your queries, the resolutions to all of your questions and difficulties. Rashi even writes in his commentary in Shir Shir and Perek Aleph and Pasuk Beis, Rabbeinu Yonah, and his commentary on Mishlei, Perek Beis, Pasuk Dalet, all based on a ton of Devela Yo Rabba. And Perek Yud Ches, if you want to know the secrets of the Torah, just work on loving the Torah. And the more you love the Torah, the more you'll be privy automatically to just pick up on those nuances, those intricacies, all the difficulties in Torah will gradually fade. The more you fall in love with the Torah Kedosha, the more you taste and appreciate its sweetness, its mesikus, its arevus. Then the same way when you love a person, you know what their likes are. You know their likes, their dislikes, their wants, their desires. If you become one along with the Torah, by loving the Torah so much, you'll know the answers to all of your questions. It comes as no surprise, therefore, that the Lavush, a famous posek in his commentary in Hilchos Berachos HaTorah in Or HaChaim and Siman Mem Zayin and Siv Vav, the Lavush writes this idea, the Taz echoes it as well, the Taz in his commentary on the tour, the Torah Zav and Ilchus Nedarim, Simon Reish Chaf Aleph and Yordei Yosef Kotin Mem Gimel, and it's bought as well by the Stipler and Kilis Yaakov and Brochus and Simon Chav Beis. When you get up in the morning and recite the Birchus HaTorah, it has the same classification as a Birchus HaNenin. You want to have a cup of water, you have to recite a Shalkol. You want to have a candy, you want to have a chocolate bar, you have to recite the appropriate Brocha. If you want to enjoy the sweetness, the Arevus and Mesikus HaTorah, you need to recite a bracha before you eat and gobble up the delicious honey-tasting Torah HaKadosh. So you have to make a bracha sanen, and the Gemara says in Brachos Levadma 35a, Osir Lenes Meolam HaZev LaBracha, you're not allowed to derive pleasure or benefit from this world without first reciting the appropriate blessing. So writes the Lavush, writes the Taz, writes the Stipler, you can't plunge into Liman HaTorah until you recite the appropriate blessing. And then as a Bircha Sanenin, you have to say, Hashem, I'm ready, I'm psyched, I'm all prepared to get and taste the enjoyment, the sweetness of the Torah. No problem, I want you first to recite V'harim No, Shem Lokeinu. Now you said the Bircha Sanenin. Okay, now we're ready to commence Torah study for the day. And the reason it's part and parcel of the brachas that prepare us for Liman HaTorah on any given day is because that's what Liman HaTorah is all about. We know a famous Avne Nezer, the Sukkot Sheva Rebbe, wrote a well-known work on the Lamates Melachas HaShabbos called the Eglei Tal. In his introduction, his Hagdama to the Sefer Eglei Tal, the Avne Nezer writes emphatically that there's a tos hamafursemes, there is a well-known mistake that the world makes. They think that Talmud Torah Lishma precludes the opportunity to learn Torah, to taste the sweetness and enjoy it. That if you enjoy a shiur too much, it's not good. You should be going purely, solely l'shem shamayim. I just want to absorb the myriad lessons of the Torah Kedosha, all the profundity of the Torah, and I don't need to enjoy it. No, it's a toast, it's a mistake, it's a fallacy. Because Iker Talmud Torah Lishma, he writes based on his Zohar HaKadosh, and the Shal Shachuvas Eretz Tzvi at the end of Siman Tzadi Beis brings another raya from Rashi and Avodah Zohar, Daf Yates Siman Aleph. But the Avne Nezer, based on his Zohar, says, Iker Talmud Torah Lishma is to taste the enjoyment, to love it. That's exactly what Hashem wants. The Sefer Noeg Kitzon Yosef, at Siman Chafei, Rabbeinu Avraham ben Ahara, in his commentary, Maseches Nedarim, Daf Mem Chesem and Aleph, when the Gemara relates that mitzvahs lav lahanos nitnu, that all the Tariq mitzvahs are not given for our own personal hana, for our own personal benefit or enjoyment, that's only a characteristic of the Tayyag mitzvahs outside of Liman HaTorah. writes Rabbeinu Avraham in Ahar in Adorim 48a, Noe Kitzon Yosef Simon Chafei, regarding mitzvahs, you're right. Mitzvahs, lav lahanos nitinu, they're not given for own personal pleasure or enjoyment. We do them because kach gazolei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a mitzvah. Brochus lamad gim lamad beis, megillah chafayim and aleph, I do the mitzvahs because Hashem told me it's a gzeira. It's not a midav rachamim, I do them because that's what Hashem wants me to do. I, that's only legabi pertaining to the mitzvahs, but pertaining to the Torah itself, Torah is lahanos nitinu. Torah is given to us for our pleasure, for our enjoyment, and that's what Hashem wants. He wants you to enjoy the geshmak. It's an idea mentioned as well by the Shlach Kodesh, Rabbi Shai Harowitz in his commentary, Masech HaShavuos, discussed as well by the Kli Chemda and his Sefer, Kli Chemda Parshas HaAzinu. Hashem Yisbaruch wants nothing more but for us to enjoy what the Torah's beauty is all about. Ad Kedei Kach, to the extent that the Orach Chaim HaKodesh writes in his commentary in Parshas Kisavo, Perach Avav, Posuk in Aleph, writes the Orach Chaim HaKodesh, V'samachta b'chol ha-tov, I want you to rejoice, Hashem says, with all of the good, all of the delights in this world. And the Gemara tells us in Maseches Brochus, the top of Daf Hayim and Beis, Ein Tov El HaTorah, Shenemar Kilek HaTov, Nasati Lechem Torasi Al Tozovu, the ideal, the ultimate Tov in the world is, of course, the study of Torah. So writes the Orach Chaim HaKodesh, V'samachta b'chol ha-tov. If you learn Torah and you taste the full-fledged sweetness and the honey of what the Torah is all about, then you will be mishtageh umeslait achareha, you will run after it, and you will be fully engrossed, and you will be imbibing Torah. You will go in and be drinking cup after cup of the Torah Kedosha. Nothing in the world will interest you. Nothing of the mundane materialistic pursuits will pique your interest one iota. It makes nothing. It pales in comparison to the beauty and the splendor of the grandiose Torah Kedosha, the greatest gift in the world. But if we would just love it and learn to love it, then we would see how everything in the world pales in comparison to the beauty and the splendor and the geschmackheit, the sweetness of what Torah is all about. You want to give over that love. So Soloveitchik used to explain, the greatest hashpa is when it comes derech shefa ba'alma, which means, well, there are many ways to fill up a cup. If you are making kiddush for a large group of guests at your home on a Shabbos morning. So we know now we have the fancy fountains. You could almost instantly pour simultaneously for so many other individuals as well. But before the fancy sterling silver fountains came out, so what did you do? You could go ahead and gradually, little by little, piecemeal, fill up all the individual cups. Or you could go ahead and take one large cup in the middle. You could encircle that one large cup in the middle with a bunch of smaller cups. And you could have the cup in the middle be so filled that it'll gradually overflow. And derech memela, it will go ahead and piece by piece fill up all the surrounding cups. The greatest hashpa is to let it be shefa, derech shipua. Let it flow, let it overflow. The best way to give over love of Torah is work on loving it yourself. Work on having kavana every morning when you get up and you ask Hashem, you beseech, V'hara nashem, okay, Hashem, I want nothing more today but to taste the ultimate sweetness and the geshmakite, the honey of what Torah is all about. The more you love it, then your students, then your tamid and your children will pick up on it, they'll absorb it. They'll see it in you, and that is the best example, the best illustration. Let them see how excited you get by it. Rav Gifter Zatzal, the Tells of Rosh Hashiva, used to say over a story, and then when he first started teaching in Tells, he was in the midst of a shiur one afternoon, and he raised a question, he posed a difficulty on the sugya, on the topic they were learning at that time, and one of the bachram answered with a profound resolution, and he was blown away. He was so happy that he excused himself from the room and he went down the hall, and nobody knew what to make of it. Here, Rav Gifter, he's in the middle of saying a shiur, and in the middle of shiur, he says, "Hold on, students, I just need a couple of minutes." And he went down the hallway, and the students were all astounded. Where in the world did he go? That Magid Shiur, the Rosh Hashiva, in the middle of the shiur, he just walks out of the room. So one of the bachram had the audacity, he was brazen enough to follow him down the hallway. And he saw that he went into his office and he had closed the door, but this Talmud peeped through the keyhole. And he saw Rav Gifter was dancing uncontrollably behind the door. And he couldn't hold himself back. And he waited for Rav Gifter, for the Rebbe, to come out. And he says, Rebbe, can I ask? He says, I saw you dancing. He says, you have to leave the shiur to do a dance? What happened? You had a mazel tov? What's going on? He says, no, you don't understand. He says, I threw out the bomb kasha. I threw out such a difficult question to all the students a few minutes ago. And one of them answered with an incredible answer that I never thought of. And I was so filled. I was inundated with joy and ecstasy. I had to celebrate. I had to express and manifest that simcha. So I knew that the American bachrim today, if I start dancing in the middle of the shiurim, they're going to think I went meshuggah. I imagine the Rebbe is going to get up and he's going to start doing a little rakita in the middle of them. They're going to think he flipped. So instead I said, you know what? I'll contain it. I'll harness that emotion. And I'll wait until I can go down the hall. I'll go into my room and in the privacy sequestered in my office, that's where I'll go in and rejoice and I'll dance. He says, no, Rebbe, we'll appreciate it. Come back. And they did a rakita. And they danced. They celebrated it. And when they saw the Simcha Satayra of Gifter, they absorbed it. It was picked up almost by osmosis. They instantly knew to go ahead and feel the simcha. If the Rebbe could get such a geschmack, if you could have kavana by the hour of noon, you could work on loving the Torah more than anything else in the world, then your students, your children, they will gradually pick up on it. And that's what you have to give over to them. Let's turn to David HaMelech and his monumental work, the magnum opus, Sefer Tehillim, the Book of Psalms. David HaMelech writes in Tehillim in chapter 19 in verse 11, Yutes Yer Aleph writes, David HaMelech, the Torah is nechmode mi zov mi paz rav umesuka mi devash nofes sufin. And the Torah writes, David HaMelech, the king of kings down here in our world, David HaMelech tells us that by him the Torah was sweeter than honey and the drippings of honeycombs. Okay, it's a great statement. David clearly enjoyed learning Torah. And then along comes the son, Shlomo HaMelech. King Solomon, the wisest of all men, the Chacham Kaladim, he writes a fantastic sefer called Shir HaShirim, the Song of All Songs. And turning to chapter 4, verse 11, Perek Dalet Pasuk Yud Aleph, Shlomo HaMelech writes, seems to merely reiterate what his father had previously declared, but Shlomo HaMelech tells us, Davash V'Chalav Tachas Lishonech, that the Torah should be like honey and milk underneath your tongue. The obvious question is, it's always great to have a son repeat the words of his father. But what is he coming to be machadish? What novel concept, what new idea is Shlomo introducing in the hallowed psukim of Shir HaShirim, Perek Dalet Pasuk Yud Aleph? So listen to the following pshat presented, broached by the Sefer Alumos Yosef in his introduction to his commentary on the Rambam. He's the brother of the Mishnas Yavetz, otherwise known as Rabbi Tzalol Jolti, the Machaber of Mishnas Yavetz. And his brother, Rabbi Yosef Jolti, he wrote a Sefer Alumos Yosef in the Rambam, this introduction. He asks this very question: what is the son Shlomo adding on the father David? David HaMelech already described that when you're learning the Torah, it's Mesukim, Midvash, and Ovesukim, it's sweeter than honey, and the drippings of honeycombs. Along comes Shlomo, steps up to the world stage, and he tells us, I want you to know, Devash V'Chalav, Tachas Lishonech. So what is he adding onto what his father already declared? Writes the Alumos Yosef as follows. It's one thing when you're learning, you yourself can taste the sweetness of Torah. And of course, the Torah is compared to honey. What's sweeter in the world than honey? In fact, Isaac Asimov writes in his Book of Facts, page 93, that until the Crusaders returned from the East and bought over sugar in the West Indies trade in the late 11th century and early part of the 12th century, until they bought over sugar to Europe, everybody only knew there was one classic sweetener, and that sweetener was honey. We know honey is the only food item in the world that never spoils. No coincidence, the sweetest thing in the world is honey, parenthetically. Why do husbands like calling their wives honey? First of all, a good wife, she never spoils. She never spoils, honey never spoils. And Isha, Aleph Shinhei in Gematria is 306. And what is Devash in Gematria? 306. Devash equals Isha. 306. The woman is the sweetest thing in the world. That is the Torah. The Torah is the sweetest thing. The only sweet thing they had in the world. The archetype of what sweetness galore was. It was always honey. He said, you're going to compare the Torah to anything. Eretz Yisrael. What are you going to compare Eretz Yisrael to? It's Eretz Havasalav and Havasalav. It's a land of flowing milk and honey. So honey is the sweetest thing in the world. So David says, when you're learning Torah, I want the Torah to be by you sweeter than honey, the sweetest thing imaginable to mankind. Shlomo Melech adds, it's very nice when you're learning Beinchon Levein Atzmach. When you're learning by yourself in solitude, it's beautiful, you're tasting the sweetness and the geshmak of Torah. But what about when you're saying a shiur? What about when you're educating your children, when you're educating your students, your disciples? The key over here is Shlomo, who is the master teacher, the mentor par excellence, the quintessential malamed. Shlomo Melech tells us, it's not enough that you taste the geshmak. If you've tasted it and you've absorbed it and you've experienced how sweet the Torah can be, then let it be dimash v'chalav tachas l'shoneich. Let other people pick up that sense of honey. Share the sweetness if Torah really is meaningful to you. Let your talmidim and your children see how geshmak it is. You come home, wow, did I hear a vort today? I gotta tell you the vort. Wow, did I hear this gematria? You come home and you tell your spouse, Isha, honey, if you love it and you appreciate it, you're gonna run home. It's something you enjoy, you want to share. Let your students, let your children see how excited you get. Ish lefi mahalava. Pasuk says, Mishlei Parchav Zayin, Rabbeinu Yonah, not writing in his commentary initially, but in Shari Tshuva and Shar Gimel, and again in his commentary, Perkei Avos, Perek Daled, Mishnah Vav, writes Rabbeinu Yonah, Ish lefi mahalava. You know, we tight check with Magdir, how we define a person? Not in accordance like Rashi and the Vilna Gaon and their respective commentaries, how a person is praised. Not like the Bina Leitim, how a person reacts when he or she is praised. Right, Rabbeinu Yonah, what do you praise? When you come home after a busy day, the hustle and bustle of everyday life, and you come home from a hard day of work, how do you walk into the house? Do you say, well, let me hear a great fart. Let me hear a great idea. Someone share with me a beautiful gematria. Let the kids, let the house pick up and see how excited you get when you come back from a shir. How enthusiastic you are when you're running out to a shir at night. How excited you are by the sweetness of the Torah. And share it with them. Don't just keep it to yourself. Don't lock it up inside and merely harness it. Put it away. No. Tevash v'chalav tachas l'shonech. Convey it to others, speak it out to other individuals, and let them pick up on it as well. The only problem is, he's not addressing the word chalav. Why the additional mention of milk? After all, milk is not so sweet. As Rashi does say, in Ksuvus Kafir Beisam Nalaf, Eretz Amasal Rashid, Shemenim Kecholav, the fruits are fat like milk. In the end of the day, though, we don't have an explanation. Why did Shlomo feel it necessary to not simply state Devash Tachas L'Shanech, but to add Devash V'Chalav? So perhaps the answer is as follows. In the Sefer Pachad Yitzchak, Igrus Iksovim, and Igrai and Dalit, letter number 74, Rav Hunder once said over a shmooze to the boys in Yeshiva of Eastern Parkway, many years ago. And he was explaining that he met up with the Yeshiva Bachar on the street one day, and he says, tell me, what's the difference, Yeshiva Bachar, between your Limudei Kodesh Rabbeim and your Limudei Chol teachers? And this young boy, this teenager, said, my Limudei Kodesh Rabbeim and Moras, they're like a mother nursing an infant. When a mother nurses a child, she's not simply collecting external ingredients, putting together a concoction and presenting it to the child. When a mother is nursing an infant, she's giving over a chelik of her atzmiut, of her pnimiut. She's giving over something that's part and parcel of her very essence. That's what she's giving over to somebody else. Masha Eke, Leidakisa, on the other side of a coin, when you have a chef who's cooking in the kitchen, and that's the metaphor. Figuratively speaking, it's the same thing with my teachers, my professors, when they're teaching me, it's like a chef cooking in a kitchen. They're merely collecting external ingredients, getting some carrots, some cucumbers, making a nice little salad over here, some tomatoes, some dressing. They're taking ingredients that exist outside. They're putting it together, and the ensuing synthesis is my food item for that day. Rafuna said, beautiful, this child's going to be big stuff one day. And he added that when a mother's nursing an infant, she's only nursing one child exclusively at a time. But a chef could cook for 5, for 10, for 15, for 20, for 200. It's just a matter of adding to the ingredients. But in the end of the day, it's not a personal relationship. All right, so Funder, when you're teaching Torah or you're giving over instructions to your children, to your family, it's got to be that the Torah by you is a part of you and you're giving over a part of yourself in the process. So you're right, David HaMelech told us already in Tehillim Yotes Yed Aleph that the Torah is Mesukim Midvashen over something that's sweeter than honey and the drippings of honeycomb. So what's Shlomo adding? You know what he's adding? Devash V'chalav Tachas L'Shonech. When you're conveying it to others, you got to have it under your tongue that you can speak it out to other people and share it with them. Share the love and the geshmak of the Torah. So why did he have to add the superfluous word Cholav? But perhaps the idea is, based on Rav Hunder, the idea is that when you're giving it over, give it over to each child with love. You have to give it over. It's got to be part and parcel of a personal relationship. A unique relationship. You're giving over a piece of yourself, and the child, the student, picks that up, perceives that almost instantly. You're not just giving over a piece of external information, data, that you've accumulated over time. You're giving over some chelik of your atzmiut, of your pnimiut, part and parcel of your very existence. You're giving it over like a mother nursing an infant, giving over the chalav that exists inside internally, and she's giving over a piece of herself in the process. Let your students, your children, know you're giving over a piece of yourself, that you are one and one with the Torah, with the geshmak of the Torah, and you want to convey that important message to your students and to your children alike, giving that geshmak over to them. Dash v'chalav tachas l'shoneh. Adds the Maharam Mats and Yishal Satribus, his book of response in Hanaf Aleph, and the Sefer Tanya in Igros Kodesh and Igros Hezvav writes a similar idea. You want to give over the geshmak of the Torah. You want to give over the love, the sweetness, the honey of the Torah. It's got to be in a context of love. It has to be built, predicated, mevusas and yusin on their relationship, that there's this implicit, tacit trust. That your children, your students, they know that there's such a connection. If you love it, it must be good. It must be geshmak, besides what you're going to convey. And besides it, you're going to make it sweet for them. And of course, the minhag then in Chadarim, the Rebbeim will take out the honey and they'll put it on the children's fingers. And you should lick up the shirim, the sweetness of the Torah today. It's honey. It's the sweetest thing in the world. But you got to give it over in a context of love. If there's Ava, writes the Sefer Tanya, writes the Shal Shumas Maram Matmins, and that if there's an Ava, if there's a Yedidus Ne'emono, and then in the end of the day, if you love it, they'll love it. You know, when you're going out and you finally meet the right person, so I remember being in a Sholem Bayis Vat, and I was engaged at the time, and I remember the Mashgiach was giving a shmooze, that being a good fiancé in that case, but being a good husband isn't just, your wife says it's Sunday afternoon, you know, we have to go furniture shopping, we have to get a new couch for the living room. So it used to be that the husband would go in and say, "Yo, honey, I trust you, it's okay, you don't need me to go, let me go play basketball, let me go out to a shir, let me go to Haruso, let me go, I'll do something, you know, I trust you." Says, "No, I really want you to come, I want to know, because we got a new carpet, and I want to make sure that the couch, that the material, that it all stims with the ambiance, the overall ambiance of the room, and I want to make sure the clothes are." The husband's like, "Oh, batli b'chlav, I need to care about the colors." And shtuyot, husband, right? Any husband who's really interested, right? We have to do bedikas. We have, why is he so interested? Does he really matter to him? The material, the texture of the couch? The answer is that if your fiance, your kalav, she loves it and you love her, then you gradually start to love the things that she loves as well. If it interests her, if it piques her interest, then it has to interest me because it matters to her. And if it matters to her, it's going to matter to me too. If you have that love, derech shefa ba'alma, it'll overflow naturally. Let them see that love. Let them see that excitement and enthusiasm. And gradually they'll pick up on it. But there's got to be that avod. There's got to be that relationship. And it's got to be built in that context of a relationship between the Rebbe and Talmud, between the parent and the child. I remember when I first really started to love learning, I was in MTA 11th grade Masmidim Shir with Rabbi Yonis and Sachs. And I remember Jonas and Sachs, we used to have Shabbatons at Yeshiva University. And one Motzei Shabbos, he says, "Okay," we got very close to him through the Shabbatons, spending a lot of quality time. And he says, "Okay, we're going to go out and play laser tag." So here I am, davening, I'm going out Motzei Shabbos to play laser tag. I'm hoping, please Hashem, put me on the same team as my Rebbe. You got to put me on the same team as well. Lo and behold, I'm not on his team. And I lost big time. How in the world am I going to play laser tag and shoot my Rebbe? I can't shoot my Rebbe in laser tag. There was such a closeness already at that day and age. I couldn't pick up. It was only a laser. After all, it wasn't even paintball. But how could you shoot your Rebbe? And I couldn't do it. Because there was a love. There was an Ava. There was Yedidus. And at the end of the day, when there's an Ava and there's Yedidus, and you know that all the Torah that's being conveyed is coming mitoch an Ava, it's coming mitoch his own internal Ava, then Ramele, you're going to pick up on it. But it's got to be a dual relationship. So let's close with the following. It's a fascinating Rashi in Parshas Vayeshlon in Perek Vav, Pasuk Zayin. Rashi says on the pasuk v'shinatam levanecha v'dibarta bol, Rashi says al atar al makom elu habonim. It's not a reference to biological sons, elu atamidim. And how do I know disciples are called biological sons? Pasuk says in Parshas Rei, Perkidalu, Pasuk Aleph, Shinemar Bonim Atem L'Hashem L'Kechem, and then Rashi cites another two verses, but then Rashi doesn't stop there. Rashi proceeds onward, he goes right, and Rashi says, and how do I know that the Rebbe is called an Av? Shinemar, the Pasuk says, Malachim Beis, Perk Beis, Pasuk Edveis, Shinemar Avi Avi Rechav Yisrael. Elisha sees his Rebbe, his mentor, Eliyahu HaNavi, going up in the fiery chariot, heavenward, and he says, Avi, Avi, Rechav Yisrael, asks the Sefer HaSicha B'chukech in his introduction to his commentary on the seventh parak of Bava Kamma. Why in the world does Rashi need to present proofs on both sides of the coin? If Rashi already proved to me, by citing three distinct verses, that a Talmudist student is called a Ben, treated like an actual biological son, then why does he have to prove to me that the Rebbe is called an Av? And Mimonu Shach, Leidah Kisa. If you prove to me, Rashi, that the Rebbe is called an Av, then it's moving Me'ilav, it's axiomatic that the Talmud is called a son. Why does Rashi need to cite proofs on both sides of the coin? To which he answers, there only is one resolution. And that is because in teaching, in Chinuch, it's a two-way street. You can have a Rebbe who makes himself like a father to students. But if you want the relationship to work and you want to truly give over and impart the sweetness and love of Torah, it's got to be a two-way street. And that means the student has to go out of his or her way to make himself or herself like a true son, like a true daughter. And the Ida coming from the other perspective. If a child, a student, does everything that the student can to make himself or herself like a child, mamish, kipshuto, to the mentor, but if the mentor doesn't reciprocate accordingly, it's not going to succeed. It's got to be a two-way street. That's the way it always is. Ava is giving, is hav. You have to give, but each one has to give to the other. The way you become echad, echad, ava, gematria 13. The idea is you have to keep loving each other in the context of the rekha, the backdrop of that love. You give over that sweetness, you give over that love and the geshmakai. That's Vaharav Nashim Elokeinu. That's the Brichas HaTorah that we recite. If you can work on that love and you build that appropriate love and you love the Talmud, you love the children, you love your disciples, then Mamela Mitamidios Mikulab, Makas Davira Manalev, Tainas Davzaina Manalev, you will go ahead and learn so much from them in turn. At the end of the day, they will be your mentors, you will be theirs. No coincidence that Rabbi Kiv Eger, when he writes in his introduction to Mishas HaChivis, he says, I never called any of my Tamidim a Talmud. I never signed off on any response that I am a Rebbe, because Mitamidios Mikulab, we're always learning from one another. You give to them the geshmak, the love and sweetness of Torah, and they'll give you so much back. They'll reciprocate accordingly. It's got to be a two-way street. You love it. You work on building that sweetness, the geshmak. You taste it, and you absorb it, and you live it, and you come back into your house, and you share that excitement of the shir and the information, and the Devarei Torah that you pick up gradually throughout the course of a day, they'll pick up on it. You work on developing that relationship that you have, that loving relationship, and all that Devarei Torah, that love of the Torah Kadosh as well, will penetrate into the recesses of their hearts. Thank you so much for coming. Enjoy the rest of this incredible day and have a wonderful rest of the week ahead and an amazing, relaxing summer. Kol Tov.